right, let's take Bibles tonight and let's turn to Hebrews 12. Brother Michael Shane was asking me, he's like, I want to sneak peek what you're preaching on tonight. I want to sneak peek. I said, I'll just give you my text, Hebrews 12. He said, I love Hebrews 12. And I love it too. I love Hebrews 11. The book of Hebrews is a good book. Matter of fact, the book of Genesis is a good book. And the book of Revelation is a good book. And every book in between is a good book. I started New Year's Day once again, January 1st, with Genesis 1. And I try to read at least 5 chapters a day, first thing in the morning. Amen. And the reason I do it first thing in the morning is because otherwise I'll get distracted.
Amen.
And I don't want to get distracted.
Amen.
I want to read my Bible and I want to hear from God before I hear from the news. And I like to read the news in the morning. And I like to look at social media and all that good stuff and see what everybody's doing and be nosy for a little while. But first of all, I want to see what the Lord's heart is. And just as an admission, because I'm not afraid to admit my weakness, the Bible says confess your faults one to another. But 2016 wasn't a very good year for anybody probably in this room. And it hit me hard this summer. Hit me real hard. It was like my knees got kicked out from under me. And even Pastor one week apologized. He said, I've lost my song. I haven't been singing. And he apologized to the church, and he asked the church to forgive him. And I realized the end of December that ever since June when George passed away, I haven't felt like doing anything. I felt like sitting around my bedroom and just doing nothing.
Yeah.
Just doing absolutely nothing. I had meetings. I mean, I've been gone a lot from June till now, and I'll be gone, you know, a lot until March, and I'll be here a lot, probably so much that you'll be wishing I was on the road again. But I felt like my legs got kicked out from under me, and I tried to get up, and I'd go to churches, and I'd sing, and sometimes I'd preach, and if God was there, I wasn't feeling him because I was just consumed with feeling bad. And that's the way it's been since June for me. And I try to play it off, but something's been wrong inside of me, and I could feel it. And I'm just being honest before I preach tonight.
Amen.
If y'all don't mind.
Yeah. Come on, brother. Amen.
But I'd go to these churches and I'd try to minister to people, and people would get ministered to, but I wasn't getting ministered to. And I read my Bible and I think the Lord might have been trying to minister to me, but I wasn't feeling it. And I haven't felt it. And I hate myself because I know it's my own flesh that just can't get over me. It's not him. The Lord's faithful.
Amen.
The Lord's faithful even when we're not.
Yeah.
And I do meetings, man. I mean, I did some great youth camps. There was hundreds of people saved. I got to play at Burlington Revival while people were getting saved right in front of me. And it was great. And man, I mean, it was amazing, but it never really hit me hard that this was something great. It was like I was just in a fog.
Yeah.
And even the other day, I was planning on not going to hear Kenny Baldwin. And preacher came in the room. He said, your heart's not in. I can just tell. I said, it's there. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Oh, that was kind of you. And it's there. But it hadn't been what it should be. December 30th, I finally had enough. I was doing that winter camp that I did this past week. Clement Chappelle was preaching. By the way, I was so glad to hear Jim when he prayed tonight and he said, good evening, Lord.
Yeah.
I always liked when he used to do that.
Yeah.
And he stopped doing it for a long time. And I hope none of you self-righteous brethren told him that was the wrong thing to do. Because if you did, I'll throat punch you personally. And then I will take one of Josh's guns. No. But I like when people can just converse with the Lord. And Brother Clement, who preached the youth camp, he's a black preacher. He's one of my good friends. And that's the way he prays. He'll just talk to the Lord, just like Brother Jim does. And at the end, he'll say, "Now, Lord," he said, "I'm done. I'll talk to you later. And if I've missed anything, I'll catch up with you real soon. And I pray in the name of Jesus. Not a weak Jesus, no sir, but a mighty Jesus." Every time he prays, he says that. And I love it. I love to hear people pray that just talk to God. So Clement preached that youth camp, and on the 30th of, he preached that night on getting some things back. And I was laying in bed, and I was praying. I said, "Lord," I said, "it's going to be January 1st. And this is carnal, I know. But confession's good for the soul, so I'm confessing. I joked around with some people. I said, and this is so wrong, and I apologize to the Lord, and I apologize to you for thinking it. I said, 11:55 on New Year's Eve, I'm going to go flip 2016 the bird. That was my mindset. And if some of you will be honest, that was your mindset too. And the Lord convicted me of it. Now, there was worse said in this pulpit yesterday, so I don't feel bad. And that was our mindset. And the Lord said, "I want to bless you in 2017, but you got to be on board with the blessing in order for me to bless you." I said, "Okay, Lord." I said, "I need a verse." I said, "I need some scripture. I need something from you." I said, whether I wake up with it tomorrow morning on my heart, or I read it in my reading, I said, "I don't care. I need a verse to claim for 2017. And he gave me this verse in Hebrews chapter 12. And I just want to share what he gave me for this year tonight. It's been burning in me. I shared a little bit of it at the teen camp. And it wasn't really a developed message at the time, and I've been working on developing something. It's probably still not developed. I may depart from the outline. I don't know. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I pray that it's a blessing to you as it's been to me. Hebrews chapter 12, we'll read and start in verse number 1. We'll start in verse number 1. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." I've always liked that line. "Amen. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." And here's the verse that God showed me was going to be the verse for me in 2017. Verse number 3. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Let's pray. Father, Lord, it sure is a blessing to open your word. Amen. It sure is a blessing to feel your touch. Lord, it sure is a blessing to be able to preach to my church. I pray that you'd help us tonight, Lord. Help me to be mindful of the time. Help me to be respectful of the place, not to take it lightly. But Lord, more than that, Lord, if I just stand up here and preach and you're not in it, it's just words. So I pray that you would just get in this thing. Amen. And Lord, I pray you'd help me give it to my church family like you gave it to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Consider him tonight. That's what we're going to do. We're going to consider him. You know why we need to consider him? Because the last part of the verse, it said, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. Can I just say this? There's people, and including myself in 2016, our preacher went through it in 2016. Much of our church went through it at some point or another in 2016, that we got wearied and faint in our minds. There were times we didn't want to go on from about June 1st or June 2nd till about December 30th for me. You just don't feel like doing anything. You know what's right, and you do it because it's your duty to do it, but you're not doing it out of a thankful heart, out of a heart of love. You're doing it because you're supposed to. And I don't knock anybody for doing what they're supposed to do because they're supposed to do it. You know why? It'll keep you from regrets. Amen. But then there's the element of your mind, the element of your brain. Life is a mind game. Do you realize that? Life is a mind game. And your flesh will play with your mind, and the devil will try to play with your mind, and other people will try to play with your mind. But the only one who's not the author of confusion is God. He doesn't try to play games with your mind. He gave us a book where we could get the truth, but we're still human, and we still get wearied and faint in our minds. So what's the solution? According to this verse, consider him. Yeah. Most of the time, we're not really considering him in the things that we do. We consider us. We consider how it will benefit us. A lot of times, we'll go out and we'll do the things that we do. Even what we say is in Jesus' name, but the underlying motive is, how will it benefit me? Sometimes we think, how will this benefit me at the judgment seat of Christ? And like preachers very fond of saying, it's still all about me. Yeah. Listen, if you were not promised a crown at the judgment seat of Christ, if you were not promised anything, would you still witness for him? Or are you still trying to work your way to the reward? You know, he's not obligated to give us anything. We could get to heaven, and all we could be living in is single wide trailers on old redneck lots.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Some of y'all would like that.
Amen.
He's not obligated to give us a mansion. He's not obligated to give us crowns. Well, you know, the Bible says, and we worked for him. No, that shouldn't be your motive. He should be your motive.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Consider him tonight. Consider him. Listen, consider the miracle of Jesus. Yeah. The miracle of Jesus. Do you know that no one's ever been born like he was born?
Amen. Right.
No, it takes two to tango. But Mary was a virgin. And she got pregnant. Because God himself put that seed inside of her. It was not violation. God, the creator of the universe, who knows the human body, reached down with his son and put him inside of her. Today the scientific word is in vitro fertilization. Doesn't that make me sound smart? I'm not, but I watch TV. And he put that baby in this woman. Mary was a surrogate for Jesus. She carried him, and the reason he chose her was because she kept herself clean. I wonder if God had something like that for us today. If we were back that many years ago, some of you young ladies in this room, would God have chose you? Would God have chose you? Did you love him that much? Did you try to live for him that much? Or were you just blown with all the winds of change? That's not in my notes. I promise. It just happened. Mary was a clean vessel. We just celebrated the Christmas season. But you know something? Not only that was a miracle, but the miracle was that there was so many prophecies of Jesus in the Old Testament, and you can find them, and you can read them, and they all line up with the gospel accounts of his birth. Amen. They all line up. Amen. How does that happen? Something happened back there. Something holy happened before the foundation of time. And God knew what was going to happen. And that book is inspired. And those Old Testament writers, they didn't know what they were writing about. But they wrote it because God told them to write it. And it all happened just like they said. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. Hey, listen, that was Isaiah who wrote that. Amen. And we call him Wonderful. Amen. And we call him Counselor. And we call him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But it was written about him before there was a Jesus, before anybody knew of a Jesus. Do you realize that's a miracle in and of itself?
Yeah.
That is a miracle.
Amen. Amen.
It's a miracle that Jesus grew up the way he did. And then he started his earthly ministry and his earthly miracles, and he did all these different things, and he healed the lame, and he gave sight to the blind, and he raised the dead. The first thing he did was he turned water into wine. That was his reveal. That's how he revealed himself, who he was.
Amen.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But even before he did that, he revealed himself because he got baptized. He went in the River Jordan. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." That's what John said.
Yeah.
He said, "I'm not worthy to baptize you. You should be baptizing me." And the Lord said, "No, John. No, I'm going to show my obedience by getting baptized." He demonstrated obedience. That's a miracle. Do you know that if you or me were God, we wouldn't do that? We'd say, "We're God. We don't need to do all that mess."
Yeah, yeah.
But he did.
Amen.
It's miraculous. The things he did, the things he said,
Amen.
Was miraculous.
Amen. Yeah.
Absolutely. My mind gets blown when I read the gospel accounts of Christ. Every time I go through the gospels, my mind gets blown because of the things that he said, the things that he did. I'm telling you, it would do you well every couple months just to look at the gospel accounts, just to read about who your Savior was as he walked on this earth. Because it's miraculous. It's miraculous. Consider him tonight. Consider the miracle of who Jesus is and who Jesus was. It's miraculous. I want you to look at something else. I want you to look at his mission. His mission tonight. 1 Corinthians 15, most of us know it. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren," this is Paul writing, "I declare unto you the gospel which is preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." We stand in the gospel, by the way.
Amen. Yeah.
"By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you." What's that about? Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me salvation. Keeping in memory, that's the Lord's Supper.
Yeah.
It's a memorial. We come together once or twice a year, and we eat the nasty cardboard tasting bread, and we drink the grape juice. But it's not to eat those things and drink those things. It's to remember. It's to spend time meditating on what he did for us, meditating on the greatest gift that anybody has ever given anybody in this world. It says, "Unless ye have believed in vain." Now watch this. Here's the mission. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures. Remember that Old Testament prophecy that we were talking about? It prophesied his death too. Isn't that amazing? He said, where'd you get those wounds? He said, I received them in the house of a friend. He said, he came unto his own received him not. That's how we got in, because his own rejected him. Verse number 4, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Aren't you glad it didn't just stop at the death like Mel Gibson's movie did?
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
If it had stopped at the death, we'd have no hope.
Right.
We'd just be trusting in a religion, just like a Buddhist, just like a Muslim, just like the people that call themselves Christians and do funny things in their churches. But if you look around their churches, Jesus is always still on the cross.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
For Christ, for 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, most of us should know the verse. It said, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins. Amen. The just for the unjust.
Amen.
My, what a line. The just for the unjust. That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh,
amen,
but quickened by the Spirit. Wow, that's a loaded verse, isn't it?
Amen.
What was his mission? His mission was to come to earth. It wasn't to turn water into wine. It wasn't to walk on water. It wasn't to be born of a virgin necessarily. Those were just the vehicles to get him to the mission. We always say Christ was the first missionary. In order to be a missionary, one must have a mission. His mission was the cross. I know we make a big deal out of the X takes Christ out of Christmas and all that stuff, but I've researched that thing. And by the way, I don't write Xmas. I don't write that. But I'm not as uptight about people that do, although I think people that do are ignorant of the original reason that people did it. The reason that people did it was that X represented a cross. And really in the beginning times, when they used to write it with a cross and an M-A-S, it was representative of the mission that Jesus really came for, that he was born to die. He was born to die. When we celebrate Christmas, when we celebrate his birth, we cannot celebrate his birth without the shadow of a cross hanging heavy upon us, because he wasn't celebrated when he was born. A few angels sung in heaven to let some shepherds know. A few dirty shepherds came into the stable and celebrated his birth. A few rich kings came with gifts and celebrated his birth. And that was all great. But I'm telling you something. We don't talk about his birth nearly as much as we talk about the mission he came to accomplish on the cross.
Amen.
What are you talking about? I'm talking about consider him tonight. Consider why he came. He came here to die for us so that we could live. It's the greatest story ever told.
Amen.
It's the greatest gift known to mankind.
Yeah.
And even we as Christians take it for granted.
Yeah. Sure. Amen.
Resurrection Sunday morning, we always sing, up from the grave he arose. And we sing that song, we get all happy, and we sing, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. And we get all happy on Resurrection Sunday. But the other times we sing those songs, we're not near as happy. So why is that? Because we're programmed to be happy on that one day. Do you realize that every time we come into church should be a celebration of his death, burial, and resurrection? Every time that we come in this building, we should be mindful of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Say, what are you talking about, Brother Jesse? I'm talking about consider him. Consider him. Just look at him tonight. I was in here earlier, and I was just playing the piano and messing around, and I just started singing that song. I don't know all the words. Esther was telling him to me as I was trying to sing the song, how deep the Father's love for us. Amen. How vast, beyond all measure.
Yeah. Amen.
I said, why should I boast of anything but Him? I have nothing to boast about.
Yeah,
I can play a piano. I can sing. I'm pretty good with a computer. I like to preach. I don't feel that I'm much of a preacher. But so what?
Amen.
So what?
Yeah. Go ahead.
It's not about me.
That's right.
I'm not a celebrity. I hate when I'm on the road, I hate when these preachers want me to go in the back and stand at the door and shake hands and all that stuff. I feel like I'm put on display.
Yeah, man.
I don't want to be put on display. I want to put Him on display.
Yeah, sir. Amen.
I don't want to put me on display. I'm nothing.
Yeah. Amen.
I was nothing. And He took me and made something out of me.
Yeah. Amen.
I hear a preacher talk about the days before he was saved. He was telling those stories this morning. I don't know that guy. I don't know him. I know the one that Jesus changed, though. Sometimes I don't even like to hear those stories because I don't like to think of my pastor in those ways. But the Lord did something in his life.
Yeah.
The Lord did something in your life.
Yes, sir.
You're nothing special.
Yeah.
You're no more, no less special than me.
Amen.
He's special.
That's right. Amen.
Consider Him tonight. Consider His mission. Why He came. He died to make something of you.
Yeah,
yeah, He did.
But why do we fight against it so hard? Why do we get wearied and faint in our minds? It said, consider Him who endured such contradiction of sinners. And sinners are still contradicting Him. Contradict means to go against. He came unto his own received Him not. They went against Him from day one. Those Pharisees, He would heal on the Sabbath, and those Pharisees would get mad, and those priests would get mad because they really thought they were something. I heard a preacher say this just recently, and I almost got sick when I heard it. He said, them Pharisees weren't as bad as we make them out to be. He said, at least they were trying to do right. Yeah, they were trying to do right so everybody would look at them and say, how righteous, how holy, how wonderful they are.
Yeah.
One more thing I want you to consider tonight. I want you to consider His mind. I want you to consider His mind. You know why I want you to consider His mind? Because the Bible says that when we get saved, I'll read you the verse. 1 Corinthians 2:16, you can look it up anytime you want. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that He may instruct him? Watch this. But we have the mind of Christ. I'm going to read that again. But we have the mind of Christ. Say it with me. But we have the mind of Christ. Say, where's the mind of Christ? I'm going to tell you where it starts. It starts with that book sitting in your lap.
Amen.
It starts with that book sitting in your lap.
Amen.
That book that some of you aren't going to crack until next Sunday when you come to church.
Right.
That book that's going to sit and collect dust. But you got 10 of them.
Yeah, amen.
And you carry it around on your phone.
Yeah.
There is no excuse why you can't get some scripture time in. There is no excuse why you can't learn the mind of Christ, because you have the mind of Christ. And if that weren't enough, 2 Corinthians says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Do you know what that means? That when you got saved, you got a new mind.
Amen.
That means you need to stop thinking like a lost person. You need to start thinking like a saved person, because you have the mind, of Christ. Philippians. We all know the passage. We'll start in chapter number 2, and we'll read a few verses in chapter number 2, start in verse 3. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than himself. That's hard. That's hard, because we really do think something of ourselves. Every one of us in this room, if you're going to be honest, there's moments when you think, yeah, I'm something else. I'm bad. You're bad, all right, but not in the way you're thinking.
Yeah. Come on.
Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Say, what's that talking about? That's talking about esteeming others better than yourselves. That's talking about what the mind of Christ is all about. Watch this verse, verse number 5. It says, let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. That's a broken record, isn't it? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Say, what was the mind that was in Christ Jesus? Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. I understand about protecting your testimony, and that's good. But we're not supposed to have a reputation in and of ourselves. We're supposed to have a reputation of Christ. We call ourselves Christians. That means we're supposed to have his reputation. But how quickly we forget that. How quickly we forget that as we go along life's way. We try to make it all about us. And took upon him the form of a servant, the form of a servant, the form of a servant. That kind of hurts. So why is that? Because we're selfish. And was made, watch this, in the likeness of men. The King of glory. The one who spoke the world into place. Made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You want the mind of Christ? It starts with serving others. It starts with serving others. Hey, listen, we were at this funeral yesterday, and I'm glad I came. I texted Esther, and I said, Esther, you going to play for Amanda's father's funeral, or do you want me to? And she said, no, I want you to. I want to be there. I want to be in the audience and be there for Amanda. And she said, I want you to play. And I came to the funeral, and I played. And you know what I witnessed at that funeral? I witnessed a bunch of people who didn't even know Christ as their Savior, but they were bragging on another because he was kind to them, because he was a servant to them, because he was good to them. A bunch of lost people, not even living for God. Hey, listen, there's some people out in the world that's more generous to each other than some Christians are to each other. Said, did it get you jacked out of shape when that guy got up here and said a little bit for a minute? But then you know what I realized? He didn't know better. Just doing what a lost man does. And if we're going to be honest, you know why we're here? We're here to witness to them. We're here to serve them with Christ's love. You think about that mind of Christ for a minute. You know, it was brought up this morning in Sunday school. Preacher was talking about it when he's talking about Romans. He got on that Samaritan woman at the well. And you know, Jesus, John chapter 4, he said, I must needs go through Samaria. And the wording there is supposed to offer emphasis. Must needs means I really have to, he really had to go. He had an urgent need to go through Samaria because there was a woman there sitting on a well side and she thought that Jesus needed a drink, but it turned out that she needed a drink.
Yeah.
And you know what this great mind of Christ did? He went and sat beside her on that well side. He said, hey, ma'am, I'm thirsty. Could you get me a drink? And they started talking about wells. Because they were sitting on a well, there was something, they had a conversation piece in common. They started talking about the well. And all of a sudden, Jesus kind of sprung it on her. He said, hey, you know, if you drink from my well, you'll never thirst again. And I bet you at first that woman thought he was crazy. Number one, here's a Jew talking to a Samaritan, and Jews didn't like Samaritans. And here's Jesus being friendly to her. And you know what I bet you she was thinking in her mind? If he knew what I did, if he knew what my sin was like, he wouldn't be talking to me. He wouldn't bother with me. But then you know when Jesus finally confronted her about her sin, I don't believe he was nasty toward her. In fact, he said, hey, why don't you go and get your husband and tell him about it? And she said, she probably hung her head and she said, I have no husband. Jesus said, you're right. You've had five and the guy that you're living with now is not even your husband. Now why don't you go and tell everybody what just happened to you? She didn't get mad. Say, why is that? Because she knew why he was doing what he was doing. She knew he loved her. That's what the mind of Christ is about. It's about others. I go to these meetings and stuff and I try to minister. And trust me, there's many, many weeks that I would much rather be here. Most Sundays that I'm gone, I'm wondering, what's going on at home? What's going on at church? What am I missing? And then I'll read some updates on Facebook or somebody will post a video on Facebook of it getting on in church. And at first I don't want to click on it because it's like I'm jealous because I wasn't here. So what's that all about? Christ left his place of comfort. I wonder if he was jealous of what was going on in heaven. I wonder if there was times here on earth where he's thinking, man, I'm sure homesick, but I got a mission. I'm here for a reason. Hey, you know what? When people that I love started dying, I started getting homesick too. But I'm still here on a mission. What's that mission? The mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. Can I tell you this too? That if you allow yourself to have the mind of Christ, it'll help you to live holy. It'll help you to live holy. You know, if you allow yourself to have the mind, we talk a lot about, and I hear Miss April sometimes will say something, or Miss Linda will say something, and they'll say, I don't know what ails these girls. They dress in these crazy clothes, and they think it's cute, and it's not, and they're really just putting it all out there. But you know something? We wouldn't have modesty problems if more of you had the mind of Christ. Did you know? Let me help you out. Did you know that modesty is not what you wear? It's why you wear what you wear. It's why you wear what you wear. It's not about your clothes. It's about why you wear what you wear, why you do what you do. That's what modesty is about. Are you doing it to be seen? Are you wearing it to be seen? Are you wearing it to be discreet? And can I just tell you something, that some of those gaudy clothes that the real homespun kind of people wear, they're just as immodest as some of the hoochie stuff. Say, what you mean by that? Because they're parading themselves in them tacky clothes and saying, look how holy and spiritual I am, and you're not. That's just as immodest as the other way. There's a ditch on both sides of that road too. But you know how you can figure out what modesty is? If you stop trying to get the mind of a guru, if you stop trying to get the mind of the latest and greatest author that's going to tell you how to be holy and how to be spiritual and what their perception of what the Bible is, and if you get your head in that Bible, and if you learn about the mind of Christ, and if you just start establishing the mind of Christ, then little by little, some of those habits that you have are going to change. Yeah. Right. Can I, me and Josh was talking, can I talk about this? We were talking about this on the way to hear Kenny Baldwin the other night. You know, I used to love wearing them loud shirts. I had this lime green shirt. Princess finally chewed all the buttons off of it. But I like wearing them real loud shirts, real colorful stuff, because everybody used to say, man, that looks good. Usually I don't know how I look. Some people would, some of the self-righteous ones, they'd say, why are you wearing a lime green shirt like that? And I always told them, it's so I could see it. I used to aggravate them. But you know what? The Lord showed me something about that. We preach about modesty and stuff, and we're always getting on the girls. We're always getting on the girls because they're showing more skin and they're showing more this and they're showing more that. But you know something, guys? If you dress to be noticed, you're just as immodest as a girl who's dressing bad. Do you realize that? Come in here with crazy suits and a lot of those TBN kind of preachers, they'll do that. They'll get in these crazy loud suits and I got this white suit. I got it as a joke, really. And it kind of backfired because preacher made fun of me when I wore it. He said, I look like a tablecloth. I said, I ain't wearing that again. So he going to make fun of me. I ain't parading. I'll wear it as a joke sometime, maybe. I don't know. I'll see. I'll think about it. But you know what you do that for? You do that to be noticed.
Right.
You can go to the other extreme, the independent, fundamental, premillennial, judgmental crowd, and always wear a white shirt and a red tie and all that stuff. But that's just as immodest too.
Yep.
So what are you saying? Just use your head. Amen. Don't dress to be noticed one way or the other. Dress to have clothes on.
Yep.
That's what modesty's about.
Yep.
You know, I understand. I know it's fun, and I know guys, they get sports cars and stuff, and they're cruising in here in the church parking lot when they first get their Mustangs or their Corvettes or what. I don't think anyone's got a Corvette in this church, do you? I don't think so. Maybe Ken will when he gets chicken rich. Can you picture Ken having a midlife crisis and driving around a Corvette? No, you probably don't want to think about that. That might be a bad picture. What? With a lime green shirt on. I got one. It just don't have any more buttons on it. And I understand you like to show off your new vehicle. Hey, Josh got a new truck. I'm happy for him that he got the new truck. He brought it in the church today. Everyone's seen it and said, "Why, man, what a nice truck that is." But you know something? That if that's all you're known for is what a nice vehicle you have, can I just say that's immodest? That's just as immodest as some of the clothes that some of the leaders and some of the adults get on the girls about?
Yep.
How'd I get on modesty? The mind of Christ.
Yeah.
He came as a servant. You know, a servant has nothing to be immodest about.
Amen.
Because he's the lowest station of life.
Right.
I'm not saying dress bad. I'm saying dress good for the glory of God. I'm saying modesty starts in the heart. I'm saying if you want the mind of Christ, you have to learn what modesty is all about.
Amen.
There was a guy used to come to this church, and every time we'd go to music store or something like that, he'd always want me to get on the pianos and show off. He'd always say, do something real cool. Do something real fancy. Man, I want you to play something real cool. Play like Anthony Berger. Do this, do that. I wouldn't do it.
Amen.
So why is that? Because he was trying to show me off. That's immodest. Listen, I don't have to show off the fact that I'm good to be good. If you're good at something, you don't have to show off the fact that you're good at it to be good at it. You just do what you do.
Amen.
And do it for the glory of God.
Amen.
And if you're good, then do it good. Yep. And if you're not, then do your best anyway.
Amen.
That's what modesty's about. That's what the mind of Christ is about. I'm just saying we need to consider Him in all things that we do. The last part of that verse says, and we're going to go right back here, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You know how you can keep yourself from being wearied and faint in your mind? By taking on the mind of Christ.
Amen.
By letting this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's how you can keep yourself from being wearied in your minds. And faint in your minds. Yes, we've done it. Yes, we've been there. But we know how to get back. We know how to get back. Do I believe the Lord understands it for a time? I believe He does. But I believe there's a time you got to suck it up, buttercup, and get back on the horse and start riding again.
Yeah,
amen. Amen.
I'm just talking about consider Him tonight. Consider Him when you think you could do a ministry in the church better than the one that's doing it now. Consider Him. Say, what's that? That's being high-minded. That's not the mind of Christ. Well, I just think I could do this better than such and such person. And maybe someday you'll get the chance to prove yourself. But for now, why don't you just serve with the ones who are doing it? I will never forget the story preacher told us about when he first came back from Bible school and he had a head full of Bible school in him, and he went back to Buddy Cargill's church. And he wouldn't go to Sunday school because an old farmer named Hank Scoggins was teaching Sunday school. And he said, what's this farmer got to teach me? I'll never forget that story. Preacher told me one time, he said, you know what, you can learn things from people who aren't as good as you at something.
Yeah. Amen.
If you'll just be humble and learn it. He told me that. I didn't understand it then, but I'm 41 years old now. I get it now. I get it. And he sat in that Sunday school class, and he found out that old farmer knew a little more than he did. That's the Lord showing him something. And He's told us about that experience. Hey, you may think you know everything. You know, I still get showed up on the piano by people who aren't as good as me. I don't get mad. I'm happy about it. It's just something else I can learn from them. Something I can steal. Because we all steal stuff. Messages, preaching CDs, ties. Piano licks. Say, what about, I'm for Esther.
Amen.
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 That's why even a lot of times when I'm here, I like to hear her play.
Yeah.
So why is that? Because I want to show her and you that I'm on her side.
Okay. Yeah. Amen.
So what's that? It's trying to have the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, I fail at it. But I want to keep trying. Consider His mind. Consider His mind. Hey, listen. That's all I want to say tonight. Consider Him. You know what my motto is this year? What I'm holding on to this year is this simple statement. He died for me so I can live for Him.
Amen.
He died for me so I can live for Him. Say it with me. He died for me so I could live for Him. Remind yourself of that. All this stuff that we're considering about Christ, He did it so you could live for Him. He did it so you could be a part, be a benefactor in what He's doing. This Christian life is wonderful. It's amazing. It's full of a lot of heartaches. It's full of a lot of slippery roads. But if you keep following them, and if you keep going forward, considering him, you're going to end up at the right place. Amen. Heaven is the goal.
Yeah, amen.
I know Trump won the election, so your little prophecy stuff is not fitting like you thought it would. But did you know it don't matter? Trump could be a Hitler. And we could go through more persecution under him than if the woman that wore the pantsuits would have won. You never know. You never know what's next. Do you know, I bet some of those people in the Middle East never woke up and dreamed they'd be in an ISIS-controlled state. We don't know what tomorrow brings. We sung that song Friday night at the meeting with Kenny Baldwin. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. And it says, the chorus says, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I know he holds my hand.
Amen.
I don't know what the future brings. I don't know. Y'all could wake up tomorrow and get the news that Jesse Craigle passed away in his sleep. But that's okay. Consider him.
Amen.
Who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. I don't know what to give for an invitation tonight, but I want you to stand and take your hymnals, your small hymnals. I've been praying about what to close with. Your small hymnal, I want you to turn to page number 55, and I want us to sing Hand in Hand with Jesus. Hand in hand. We walk each day. You will walk hand in hand with him if you consider him.
Amen.
There's that old song, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. Listen, 2017 is the year that I want to consider him more in everything that I do than I've ever considered him before. 2016 is the year that I want to live for him more than I've ever lived for him before. That I want to do more for him than I've ever done before. Not so I can get any credit for it, but so that he can get all the credit.
Amen.
We're not celebrities, but he is. You want to boast of anything? Let's boast of Jesus.
Amen.
Let's sing that song, Esther, Help Me. Once from my poor sin-sick soul, Christ did every burden roll. Now I walk redeemed and whole, hand in hand with Jesus. Hand in hand we walk each day. Hand in hand along the way. Walking thus I cannot stray. Let's sing the third verse. From the straight and narrow way, praise the Lord, I cannot stray, for I'm walking every day. not stray. Hand in hand with Jesus. Listen, I skipped the second verse. Keep playing. For a reason. Because maybe there's somebody in this room who still argues with God about the fact that you're lost. So I want to go back and I want to sing the second verse. And maybe there's something you need to get right with the Lord. Maybe you've just played the game all your life. Maybe you know the church thing and the thing to say and the thing to do, but inside you know something's wrong between you and God. This morning there was a lot of preaching about being saved, and you know, there, as far as I know, there wasn't any visitors here this morning. I believe the Holy Ghost ordained that. Because maybe there's somebody in here that's still waging that battle inside their minds. Maybe the Holy Ghost has spoken to you. If you're saved, do you remember when you got saved? Do you remember the peace and the joy that flooded your soul? In my night of dark despair, maybe you're in that night right now. Maybe this second Sunday of 2017, you can get it settled right here. If you need to, why don't you just come up and signal for preacher, or if you're a lady, Miss Linda or Miss April or somebody else that can take a Bible and show you how to have assurance of your salvation. Just in case you're struggling, I want to give you an opportunity to be saved tonight. So let's go back and let's sing that second verse. In my night of dark despair. If you don't remember the night that Jesus came and washed your sins away, tonight can be it. In my night of dark despair, listen, Jesus heard and I'm so glad he answered my prayer. Now I'm walking free as air. I'm free in Christ, and I'm walking hand in hand with him, and it's good to be saved. Sing, church. Hand in hand we walk each day. Hand in hand along the way. Walking thus, I cannot stray. Hand in hand with Jesus. Let's sing that last verse a cappella. Let me go, Esther. When the stars.